following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Bless You, during which we are considering what it means to be blessed by God. Our focus this morning is on the idea of a nation being blessed by God, as expressed in those words we heard from the Psalms, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In the opening sermon in this series, we considered God's promise to Abraham, which is foundational for the whole biblical idea of blessedness, where God had said, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you." Centuries later, as the people of Israel were delivered from slavery in Egypt, and as they were entering into the promised land, they remembered these words, and they understood themselves to be a nation blessed by God. Many centuries after that, as this nation was being formed, and as we finally gained independence, our nation's founders saw America as a kind of new Israel. Like the ancient Israelites, we had gained deliverance from bondage to tyranny. We were settling into a new promised land, and we were, in many ways, blessed by God. But what does it mean exactly for a nation to be blessed by God? We noted earlier in the sermon series how people have often wanted to think that to be blessed means to have a lot of great stuff and good fortune. So, a nation blessed by God would be a nation that is prosperous and powerful, a nation that would be king of the hill amongst its neighbors. People in Israel often yearn for that kind of status. They actually achieved such a status under King Solomon. But that turned out not to be such a great time because Solomon forgot God, and the whole nation started a downhill slide. The actual biblical idea of blessedness, we noted previously in this series, is that to be blessed is to live in harmony with God and with God's purposes. So, a nation that is blessed will be a nation that is godly and good. These themes appear prominently in the scriptures. The psalmist was pointing to the importance of godliness with the words, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessedness begins with a connection to God. And so the people of Israel were urged to remember that it was only by trusting in God that they would find national well-being. "Some trust in chariots and some in horses," the psalmist would say, "but we remember the name of the Lord our God." Today, we could look in all sorts of directions in the quest for national well-being, but we are again reminded to look above all to God. The founders of our country were quite convinced of this truth. Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, declared, "The only foundation for the republic is to be laid in religion. Without it, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty." And likewise, George Washington wrote, "True religion affords to government its surest support." During our nation's toughest times, Americans have often called to mind this truth, that we need the strength and the guidance of God. It was in 1864, as the Civil War continued to drag on, that Congress first put the phrase, "In God we trust," on the nation's coins, an expression of what many in the country were feeling, that we needed God to get us through this mess. And it was in 1956, in the midst of the Cold War, that Congress permanently affixed the words, "In God we trust," on our nation's coins and currency, affirming in the face of Soviet expansionism and the threat of nuclear war that we needed to be looking to a higher power. Surely, we need to be looking to God today. But of course, saying that we trust in God and even affixing the phrase on our coins means nothing unless it shapes how we actually live in the world. Genuine faith will lead to goodness. In the scriptures, we read over and over about the sort of nation that God was calling the Israelites to be, that God was calling them above all, not so much to be rich or prestigious or powerful. God was calling them to be good. Righteousness exalts a nation, say the Proverbs. And the Bible gives us a very clear picture of what a righteous society, a society in harmony with God and God's aims, will look like. God called the people of Israel to care for the needy and the poor. God called the people to welcome the stranger in their land with equity and love, reminding them that they also once had been strangers in the land of Egypt. God called them to stand up for those in the society who were powerless and to advocate for them, which meant especially in that day helping orphans and widows. God called the people overall to let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. It has often happened throughout history that nations and groups have wanted God without the goodness part. People have wanted God to advance their side in a self-centered war or to grant them dominance and glory. The latest, most glaring example of people wanting religion without goodness is, of course, the Islamic State. But the scripture is clear when it declares, anyone who says, I love God and hates his neighbor, is a liar. We only have an authentic relationship with God when we are living in compassion. So our nation is called to be both godly and good. George Washington put it well, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality, godliness and goodness are indispensable. But what can we do as individual followers of Jesus if our nation at times appears to be less than godly and not so good? We don't want to try to force religious faith on society. To do so just makes religion inauthentic. And when it comes to the goodness of society as a whole, it may seem that we are far too small to have any effect. But Jesus offers a very helpful image in this regard in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, a set of sayings about the blessed life that we've started to consider in this sermon series, and we'll be continuing that next Sunday. Then, after describing in the Beatitudes what the blessed life looks like, the very next thing Jesus says is, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is small. We use it in little grains. Yet a little bit of it has a big effect, and it permeates all that it touches. We may be small, but as we act in the world, under the empowerment of Jesus Christ, witnessing to God's truth and reaching out in God's love, we can have a major effect. We are called to be salt for our society, living in such a way that the Spirit of God can be at work through us, permeating our society today. And so we can be instruments of God's blessing in our time. And this connects directly with God's promise to Abraham. God had said, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. And then God continued, so that you will be a blessing. People are truly blessed when they become a blessing. May we look to God in faith today and join in the movement of God's Spirit so that as individuals and as a nation, we may indeed bring blessing to today's world. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give thanks and praise for how you have been at work in years and centuries past, working among people who settled in this land, seeking to create together a new nation. We thank you, Lord, for the independence, the freedom that we enjoy. We thank you for all the blessings that we experience in this great land. We thank you above all, O Lord, for how your Spirit has been at work to guide people to grow in righteousness, to seek to lead us to be a society that would embody your goodness and be able to reach out in your goodness to the whole world. Lead us afresh today, O Lord, to look to you with faith. In the midst of the challenges of our time, may we trust, O Lord, in you and open ourselves to how your Spirit would guide us today. Lead us, O Lord, to live in your ways of true goodness, that your Spirit may flow through us, that we might be instruments of blessing for others. O Lord, we thank you that we can reach out to other people around us who are in times of particular need. We reach out to people who are in times of particular challenge, dealing with various difficulties. We do reach out to those in West Virginia dealing with recent flooding. And thank you, Lord, for how we can be empowered to reach out as your church, to be instruments of your help. And we pray, Lord, your empowerment, especially to be with our mountaintop mission team as they head into ministry in the Cumberland Mountains of Tennessee, working in one of the poorest counties in our country, to be instruments of your blessing there. We thank you, Lord, we can join together as a church to act with one another, to be instruments of your help to others. We lift up, especially this week, our fellow United Methodists at the Manchester United Methodist Church. We pray, Lord, amidst the challenges of our world, that we might indeed be empowered by you, that through us, something of your help, your truth, your grace may touch the lives of others. Eternal God, you who reach out to us in so many ways, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you reach out to us with healing, with redemptive love, with eternal promise. You raise us up to live anew as your people. Guide us, Lord, as we respond in faith, as we lift our hearts to you in trust, as we open ourselves to your blessing and become instruments of that blessing in our time. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.